Greetings from the International Space Station. I'm Space Station Commander Tim Kopra of NASA with my NASA crewmate, Jeff Williams.
We wanted to help kick off today's celebration from the coolest science lab anywhere 250 miles above the Earth. Just like all of the students at the White House today and those across the country creating their own science projects, we love the work we're able to do in orbit to expand our knowledge and understanding of the universe.
You know, in fact, we recently received a shipment of new science experiments and equipment that we're very excited to be part of. In the coming weeks and months, we're going to be tracking meteors, creating unique spare parts with our new 3D printer, and grabbing objects in space with a brand new Gecko gripper. So there is so much to learn and understand about our world and our universe around us, and we can't wait to see what the next generation of scientists, engineers, and innovators come up with. It is you, the students of today, who will be instrumental in achieving some of our nation's biggest goals of the future, including bringing the first American men and women to the surface of Mars.
So to all the students, teachers, parents, and mentors out there, remember, there's no limit to what you can learn. Thank you for your passion and commitment to discovery, and have a great science fair.
Wow, from the space station to the East Garden, good afternoon and welcome to the 6th annual White House Science Fair, the last science fair of the Obama administration. My name is Dr. Natoki Ford and I am a senior policy advisor here at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. I am joined by some incredible women. We have with us Ms. Carly Kloss, who is a model and founder of Code with Carly. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you for having me.
Also, we have Ms. Yara Shahidi, who is a STEM advocate and an actress, so you might know her from, or as Zoe Johnson from, from Blackish.
Yes.
So thank you both for being here with us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, for those of you who do not know, the Science Fair was started in 2010 by President Obama as a way to recognize and celebrate amazing students from across the country who are doing awesome things in the domains of science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. The president wanted to celebrate these students in the same way that we acknowledge our athletes who win championships like the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. The Science Fair is also a very important part of the president's Educate to Innovate campaign, which is a tremendously important way of getting more girls and boys interested in and excelling in STEM subjects. This year, we have more than 6 agencies and also 100 organizations that are announcing some tremendous commitments that are designed to help accelerate STEM learning. And as of this year also, we have accumulated more than $1 billion, that's billion with a B, in investments from the private sector that are all designed to help support our students and STEM education.
That's incredible.
In the spirit of going out with a bang, this science fair is our biggest one yet. We have with us more than 140 students from 30 states, representing more than 40 organizations and STEM competitions. So it is an amazing group of people that are here today, from students who are trying to combat climate change, to finding new ways to treat cancer, to even turning science fiction into science fact by being a part of the Mars Generation. So we are in awesome company.
Yes.
So with that, I think it's time for us to meet some of these awesome students,
right? Let's do it. Yes.
Okay, great.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. So tell us your name and a little bit about your project.
So I'm Isha Shah. Mm-hmm. So basically, we are all in the Future Cities program. And Future Cities is a STEM program in which you design a city 150 years into the future.
Wow.
How many?
Wow. 150.
150 years into the future.
That's
so
incredible.
So what are, tell us your name.
I'm Sydney Lin.
I'm Krishna Patel.
So what are the things that you're looking for 100 plus years into the future? What are you designing a part of the cities for the future?
So one of the things that we're designing is a waste-free city, as our theme for this year was waste not, want not. So we design everything from waste management to waste transportation to waste collection.
Awesome.
And what grade are you guys in?
I'm in 7th grade.
I'm also in 7th grade.
I'm in 8th grade.
Wow.
Were you guys designing cities in middle school?
I was
Certainly
not.
But you are.
No. How long did this project take you guys?
I think it took us about, well, actually, I think we started at the very beginning of the school year, but we've been participating in this competition since last year.
Wow.
We have a lot of knowledge and experience from last year that contribute to our winning this year.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
I want to ask, how did you guys think about sort of issues that we face now and also in the future, like energy and water and, you know, all of the things that a city has to think about now and 150 years in the future?
Well, since we knew that our main topic was waste management, we wanted to start with that. And our city is built on Jakarta, Indonesia. And Jakarta, it had lots of problems with pollution and overpopulation. So from there, it was really easy to think about how we could maximize space, how we could maximize energy, how we could use different types of energy procedures just in case one thing shut off, we would have three backups.
Wow, incredible. So what's next for you guys after this?
Well,
you should sell your plan for to any city around the world.
Yeah,
you're living, you're creating the future. It's amazing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much. Thank you all for being here. So we're going to have you step off this way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So much. Congratulations. So we have a live animal joining us here. Tell us your name.
Wow.
Michaela Ockles, and this is Liberty.
Hi, Liberty.
Okay. So tell us about your project and Sure. So Liberty is a heritage breed of laying hen. So this is a breed that's hardy. It can thrive in an outdoor environment. So I use these breeds, there's about 50 of them, on my pasture-raised laying hen business. So I raise hens in a pasture-raised setting where they're allowed outside every day to roam freely. And I studied feed-to-egg conversion ratios in different breeds of these hens. I studied six breeds and I calculated which requires the least amount of feed to produce the most eggs. So I found from my research, weighing the hens every morning and every night and factoring in the weights of the eggs that they laid, that the Rhode Island Reds were the most profitable. They were followed by Silver Lace Wyandottes and finally Buff Orpingtons like Liberty.
Wow. So Rhode Island Reds were the... what is the name? Could you describe a little bit about these different breeds of chicken and just like what accounted for the differences?
Sure. So Rhode Island Reds were the best layers, and I think that that's because they're a lighter bodied bird. They've been bred for egg production solely. If you go on down the line to Brahmas and Marans, my lowest two layers, they're actually breeds that are heavier bodied and they're called dual purpose, so they're meat and eggs. So they wouldn't be as focused towards egg production, which would probably account for their lower production rates.
Now, how did you get the chicken to the White House? How did you get Liberty here?
It's true, security was pretty tight on the way in.
She traveled in her very specialized cat carrier.
Cat carrier.
She's well behaved.
Yes. And we're from Delaware, so it's a short drive.
Nice. I applaud amazing. You because I couldn't get my brothers to behave this well last time we were here.
That's incredible.
So what's next for you? What do you see yourself doing as a professional? What's your dream job?
Well, right now I really love growing my animal businesses that I have. My chicken business has recently expanded to 100 birds. So
wow. Due to your research about which ones perform the best. So you
yes.
have...
Yep, so I'm using that in my business right now, actually, to make it more profitable. I have a beekeeping business. I raise beehives, and I collect the honey and sell it, and then also goat raising business.
So what got you started into the animal raising business? This is fascinating.
Well, I live on a 4,000-acre farm. First of all,
yes.
And then I've just always loved animals. So when I was 10, I got a horse, I got my chickens, and that really started it for me, I guess.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful interview with you. We've enjoyed Liberty.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Liberty.
Congratulations for being here. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello. Come on up. Tell us your name and
about your project. I'm Olivia Halsey, and my project is like a rapid temperature independent, so it doesn't need to be refrigerated, visual test for Ebola, but it can also be applied to other diseases like Zika, dengue fever, Lyme disease. Yeah.
So what got you interested in this, and how did you get your start? This is like very hot topic right now, especially with Zika and Ebola in the news.
I'm in a science research course at school, and everybody does an independent project, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I started looking in the news, and that was last fall when Ebola was huge. And what was so shocking to me was how quickly it was spreading and how it just seemed to target an area and then grow exponentially within that area. So I wanted to find ways to limit the spread. And the best way to do that is through diagnostic tools. So.
Wow. That's incredible. That's awesome. So what was your finding in terms of with the diagnostic tool? What was the specific thing that you uncovered with your research?
So I took a current method of testing and applied it to a new format that allows it to be sustainable, because now it uses photo paper and filter paper. So it took the cost down from about $1,000 to $5. It also took the time down from 2 hours to 30 minutes. And it's temperature independent, so it needs no refrigeration. So now you can just, it's a little card, like a playing card, so you could drop it in areas that with highly infected individuals, or you could have it at travel checkpoints. So now it's really just a more viable solution to be used on a mass scale that we need with these infectious diseases. And also it could be a home test because it's so rapid.
Oh, wow. So you cut costs and time in terms of getting the results.
That is
incredible.
Are there other people out there? I mean, given that those are such important issues in the world today, are there other companies out there doing this kind of research or creating this kind of test, or do you need to take this public?
I think a lot of people, especially when Ebola was so big, were trying to work on it. So it was actually, we had a little bit of a pushback trying to get the antibodies and reagents I needed because other people were trying to work on it. But my goal is to have this test be used in the field and actually have it help people, because that was from the beginning really my end goal. So I definitely want to have it come to fruition and be used. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you. Yes.
Wow. So what's next for you?
So right now I'm working on publishing a paper about my research and also applying it to Zika and Lyme disease and other diseases like that. And yeah, graduate.
And how old are you again?
I'm a junior in high school.
20. That's amazing. Incredible. Well, thank you so much for the amazing work that you're doing. And congratulations on being here.
Yes. Yeah. Very cool.
Got some bigger groups.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought AP Calculus was difficult.
I mean, that's amazing.
Right on up. So tell us your name and about your project.
I'm Jacob, and we are actually members from the first place robotics team from Alabama's Best Robotics Competition. And what this is an annual competition where high school students can come together, and from certain industries, problems are chosen by one of the hubs. And these problems are then given to the students, as well as a list of raw materials and a time frame. And the students are to work on these problems and come up with different solutions to them. And one of the really cool things about this competition is that it's not just a robotics competition. It's more so it's aimed to mimic industry. So we go through the entire process that an industry or a company would to design a product, build it, test it, and also to market it and sell it to a client.
Wow. Hi, I'm Rupa, and over the course of 42 days, not only do we create a robot, we create a marketing presentation, two technical notebooks, a website, lots of social media and publicity, and all sorts of different things. It's a crazy 42 days. Also, this
only year, in 42 days, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
And this year, a real big goal of ours was safety in mining, to promote that idea. We actually named the robot Walter to honor men who were involved in the mining accident in Alabama, which is where we live.
Wow.
I'm Nolan.
Nolan?
I've been involved a lot in the overall production of the robot, mainly the software aspect and programming the robot. So the primary goal of the robot is to replace the human element in dangerous mining operations. Things are very hazardous for humans to do, mining, replacing things. So the actual game field that they have developed, that best developed for us, there are various elements such as lithium, copper, important metals, and materials in production of silicon, technology today. And our robot is designed to efficiently achieve these goals.
Well, wow. What got you interested in this competition?
Well, it was mostly the sponsors and the teachers from my high school. The first couple of years I was in high school, I didn't take part in it. But the third year, one of my teachers noticed that I had an aptitude for engineering and designing things and drawing things up in computer programs. So they asked me to join. So it's just like a company. I had to fill out a job application, and after that I was assigned a job and assigned a section of the company to work in. And since then, I've moved up and become a leader in the company, the team, and that's...
And so you've all been working together for the same time as part of the same team? Okay, wow, awesome.
And given that it's so complex, there's so many different aspects of it, do some of you guys work more on the software and others on the hardware and others on sort of... Or do you guys kind of... there's so many different components to this.
Yes, ma'am. So we're actually divided into two sections, marketing and design. And I'm actually the CEO of our company. So, yes, ma'am. So I make sure that the marketing and design divisions work together to create our amazing products.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome. Well, you guys are so incredible. So congratulations on your competition. And you guys, are you from Mobile? Did I read that correctly? So I have been to the airport in Mobile. It's actually one of my favorites. So I know your stomping ground. So thank you all so much for being here, and congratulations again.
Yes, okay, thank awesome. You.
It's very important work. It's awesome.
Step right on up. So ladies, tell us your name and about your project.
My name is Jordan, and we built a solar power car.
My name is Adriana, and I helped her build the solar power car.
And how old are you guys?
I'm 12.
I'm 13.
12 and 13.
I feel so unaccomplished.
Yes.
Like, that's
tell
amazing.
Us about the solar power car.
Yeah, so what happened was we had raced it in a local competition, and we won the competition, and then we had moved on to another one in Texas. But then we forgot to fix the car within the 30 seconds we had, so we didn't win.
That's
okay. But we still ended up here.
You're here today, though.
Yes.
So how did you get this idea? How did you get interested in solar power, et cetera?
It was like a program at the Boys and Girls Club, and then I was asked to join it, and... And we were like, sure.
So what's your favorite part of doing a project like this?
My favorite part is working with my teammates, because, you know, it's fun building it together, and so it can actually work, you know.
Yeah, show off this car.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's a sunny day today. I'm sure it could go pretty far.
I remember when we were talking to you, the wheels were spinning. Crazy.
That's amazing.
It makes, like, the most obnoxious noise ever.
Okay, so you're teenagers who've already made a solar power car. What comes next?
We might be able to make an app to save
that would be amazing.
Food waste and stop global warming.
Do you guys
because of methane gas?
Have you guys been learning how to code? How to code?
Oh no.
It's awesome.
I and can't make a grilled cheese sandwich without setting off a smoke
it's
alarm.
It's not as hard as you if but you can make a solar panel.
You can do anything.
Car, you can code. You can do anything. You can do anything. You should, because you could combine sort of what you've already built and continue to, you could do anything. I actually really believe you. Everybody here is, you guys are brilliant. It's amazing.
Well, guys, this is incredible. So congratulations on all the amazing things that you're doing. And I know you guys are going to go on and do awesome things. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Also, yes, wait, I have to ask you, how does it feel to be at the White House? Isn't this crazy?
Yeah, I never thought I would ever get anywhere near the White House.
Me neither.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I'm trying to meet the first daughters. Will you join me in this adventure?
Yes. Like we had a plan. We want to become like best friends with them.
Yes.
And then, like,
yes.
Feel special.
We'll meet on the front lawn at 2 p.m. We'll do it.
That you guys
can
didn't
I get
hear
in
that?
On
the live stream. So while our next group is coming up, for those of you who might have just tuned in, we're here live on the East Garden with Carly Kloss, Yara Shahidi, I'm Natoki Ford, at the final of the Obama administration White House Science Fair. So our next group, can you tell us your name and a little bit about your project?
Yeah. I'm Matthew.
I'm Savannah.
I'm Valerie.
I'm Varun.
And our project is fire armor, so it's a novel material for firefighter suits. So the current industry standard for firefighter suits has kind of stayed the same over the past 40 years, and it only provides protection in a flashover fire for like 5 seconds. So our material can provide protection in temperatures above 1,000 degrees Celsius and for 5 minutes in a flashover fire.
Wow. Yeah. It's actually a really interesting material that it works similar to an instant ice pack. If you've ever seen an instant ice pack, it actually has an endothermic chemical reaction that absorbs heat in from its environment. So it works in a lot of the same ways. So when a firefighter is in a flashover fire, then it'll absorb the temperatures from the outside. This is really effective in protecting the firefighter from the high temperature conditions.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year we entered an entrepreneurship competition called the Conrad Awards. And so as a result of winning the competition, we received the funding for a patent. And so we're really excited. So we have a patent. Yeah, so we have a patent pending. We're really excited to see what other applications we can use. So military technology to domestic use as well.
That's amazing. So what got you interested in firefighter technology?
Yeah, so it was when we heard about the Arizona situation in 2013 when 19 firefighters were killed in a flashover fire. And Savannah actually told us that she was hiking there in Arizona and saw all the smoke. And then so we were kind of inspired to find a solution for this problem.
And is your technology, is it reusable once the material that you've created, or is it reusable, hypothetically?
Yeah, it actually is reusable. So the endothermic chemical reaction occurs as a one-way condensation reaction, but even above those temperatures, it can still continue to protect the firefighter and work almost as well as better than what's currently being used. And it also resists degradation, so it doesn't fall apart, and it stays pristine and white.
That's fantastic. How long have you guys been working on this?
It's been around 2 years now that we've been working on this.
Wow.
2 years. So what? How old are you guys? What age?
We're all seniors in high school. Yeah.
Any commitments yet in terms of where you're going? Have you signed with any universities?
I'm going to UPenn in the fall.
I'm going to Yale. Rice University.
Stanford.
Wonderful.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That is
what about
awesome.
When you get the patent and you start a business? How are you going to all?
One thing that we really want to investigate is other applications. So we're looking into like military technology and implementing this and that as well.
Incredible. That's awesome.
As a rising senior, I'm going to have to pick all of your brains.
Totally. Reach out. No objections to that, Yara. No objections whatsoever.
That's awesome.
Wow, great. So you guys are fantastic. Congratulations again.
Congrats.
And thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank
That's
you. Awesome. I also appreciate the color coordination.
I know. Respect. Respect.
Hello. Tell us your name. Oh, do I get a hug? My first hug. Oh,
hi.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
My
jealous.
Name is Nicole O'Dell.
Tell us about your
project. Okay, so my project is, will low-dose radiation affect the growth of patient diagnostic specimen? And it's basically about, doctors need accurate diagnosis for patient specimen, and when they can't diagnose things themselves, they'll send it to other labs for further analysis. And after 9/11, it became important that packages go through X-ray security scanning machines for security purposes, and my project looks to see if the low-dose radiation that they're exposed to has an effect on the specimen.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Is there a lot of regulation now around that? Preventing that from happening?
So my test looked to see if there was any effect on the specimen, and we saw variations in color and isolation and colonies, but we couldn't fairly definitely attribute that to low-dose radiation. So
how did you get interested in this?
Oh, I was told about an incident that had occurred where an airport staff member was exposed to a specimen that had leaked out of its containment during transportation, and it got my partner and I thinking about other factors that could affect diagnosis of specimen.
Wow.
So what grade are you in?
Yeah. I'm a 12th grader.
Wow.
So what's next for you?
Okay, so I'm a POSSE scholar. POSSE is a merit-based leadership scholarship to an institution, a good institution, for 4 years, and I'm going to Brandeis University.
Amazing. Fantastic.
That's amazing.
Fantastic. Awesome. And how's it feel to be here at the White House?
Crazy. I can't believe it.
I know.
And what are you planning on studying?
Biochemistry.
There we go. I like it. She's your girl. I like it.
Wow. Well, thank Congrats. You so much for being here. Congratulations on everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Enjoy the White House.
Come on up. Hi, tell us your name and a little bit about your project.
I'm Sam.
I'm Emma.
And we're part of TARC, which is a rocketry competition. It's the biggest rocketry competition in the world. It's sponsored by Aerospace Industries Association, National Rocketry Association, a lot of other industries as well. And basically, the point of this project is to build a rocket that goes 850 feet, flies between 44 and 46 seconds, and also has two eggs that don't break. You hope they don't break.
You said two eggs inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put them in here with, like, protective
protective foam to keep them safe. But yeah, they would be in there while the rocket's flying.
Wow. Okay. So
two eggs in foam. So what are the conditions that you're testing out when you're trying to make sure that the eggs don't break as you're launching these rockets?
So the biggest issue is if the parachute doesn't open and it just crashes to the ground, or if you miss an O-ring and the rocket explodes. So you just try to make sure that doesn't happen, basically.
So how long have you been working on this rocket?
This rocket is... mostly this year. We've done rocketry for the past 2 years at our school, Jordan High School. Because of our success in TARC, the Team America Rocketry Challenge, we've moved on to the NASA Student Launch Initiative, in which we build 7 to 9 foot rockets that fly a mile high, and we do an experiment with them.
You can see them back here. They're pretty amazing.
They're those over there.
Oh, wow. And did you hold up your rocket
for the camera? This is awesome.
And you said before, how do you fuel the rockets?
So it's a solid propellant. It's ammonium perchlorate, and basically you just light on fire, and it'll burn for usually about 2 seconds, and then it's done.
And they're reusable?
The motor container is reusable, but since you burn up all the fuel in it, we have to remake them each time we fly.
Okay, you're saying all this so casually, but I hope you understand how epic this sounds.
Just building rockets and stuff.
And then it flies up 850 feet. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's amazing. Great. And your dream jobs?
I'm interested in physics right now, but I don't really know where I want to go with that. I do really like rocketry, though.
I would love to work for NASA. That's probably my dream job. I'm going to NC State next year for
Amazing.
Aerospace engineering.
Amazing.
And NC State actually has a NASA program, like the one that we do, except at the college level, so I'm hoping that I can take part in that.
And would you want to go to space?
I'll get back to you on that.
maybe to Mars?
Are you a little scared of the Martian?
Maybe. One day.
I like it.
Love the hair. Wow. Well,
that's awesome.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. Congratulations on everything you're doing. You've been fantastic.
So
thank
awesome.
You. Come right on up. So you are our last student to get interviewed. Can you tell us your name and about your project?
My name is Hari Bimaraju, and I made a low-cost animated tool to teach about the periodic table of elements for the visually impaired.
Wow.
That is amazing. So tell us what gave you that idea.
Well, I was just learning science, and it was, like, so fascinating that to learn about what makes up everything around us, which is chemistry. So then I wanted to make a tool to teach about that so more people could learn about it.
I love that because the actual learning is such an important part. Everyone on this lawn right now has, you know, been very passionate about whatever they're studying. So the actual learning process is a great thing to continue to.
I'm in chemistry right now, so
I could use this periodic tool.
I actually have an app on the App Store.
Tell us about this.
Download it. Amazing.
It's called the Elementor. So download it.
Yes. Awesome. Heard it here first, people. The Elementor.
The Elementor. That's awesome.
And what, how old are you again?
I'm 12.
I'm 12 years old. Do we need to say anything else?
Can I ask, what's your dream job? If you could do anything.
I want to do something sciencey that helps people. So maybe like a biomedical engineer or something.
I like it. A woman after my own heart. My goodness. You are incredible. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you. And you are doing amazing things to help people,
which is
so important. So,
and we'll be downloading your app.
And we're all downloading it today.
Can
and
you
have
repeat it
today
into the microphone?
While you're here. Nice to meet you, too. So, absolute last, come on up. We have with us the co-host of a new TV show that's on Fox, I believe, called Fab Lab. So, tell us your names and just a little bit about Fab Lab.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm Maddie.
I'm Nick Juhas.
And we are from Fab Lab, which is a show on Fox all about showing how science and technology are making the world a better place.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Awesome. And you both have STEM backgrounds, correct? Or have done things with STEM, right?
That's right. I'm in college right now, and I'm studying GIS and how that can be used to help conservation.
I was a biology major in school, so I was a pre-med kid, all about science, and also have a YouTube series that's all about science as well. So that's how I sort of integrated my entire career into science along with this TV show, Fab Lab.
What's the name of the YouTube series?
Oh, it's called Nickipedia.
Yeah.
It's on my YouTube channel, Nick Juhas.
You're used. Yeah.
Thank you.
So have you guys started shooting?
Yes, we have.
Can you give us like a little hint as to what we will be seeing?
Yeah, definitely. We've shown how science is helping dogs. I was in Paris during climate negotiation explaining to like 7th graders, what does the UN do? How are we addressing climate change? We've talked about renewable energy, Lots of things.
There was a contest that Samsung puts on called Samsung Solve for Tomorrow. And so it's getting all the bright, intelligent minds that are solving local problems through STEM. And so we just did a two-part series about that entire competition in New York at Samsung A37. It was awesome.
Well, the next series you need to do is interviewing everyone here
on
your show.
We're working on it.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
You're
in the right place.
Now.
Well, great. Well, thank you all for joining us. I'm definitely going to be tuning in and watching Fab Lab. And thank you for the incredible work that you're doing using media to help inspire young people, especially young girls, to go and get interested in and pursue careers in STEM. So thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be watching.
So that concludes our live desk, but please do not go anywhere. So up next, you'll see a panel discussion featuring alumni of the White House Science Fair, which will be moderated by Valerie Jarrett. So stay tuned for that. And then after Valerie and the panel, you'll be able to watch the president take his tour of these amazing exhibits from our students and also make remarks. So please stay tuned. And Carly, Yara, you've been amazing.
Thank you so much for being here. This has been so much fun.
I mean, I think everyone on this lawn is the future of.
Absolutely.
They're going to change the world.
Yes, I'm inspired for AP Bio next year.
Yes!